Welcome to Intentional Living Center here at Intentional Life Media in beautiful Tucson today. My name is Dr. Randy, along with Jennifer and Stephen and our team. We love you guys, and we're continuing from yesterday to hear stories. We just want to hear stories of people who have been on the journey. God's made a difference in your life. You gave your life to Him. How'd you get there, and where are you now? You know, C.S. Lewis made this statement, "I gave in and admitted that God was God. I gave in." And some of us just get to that place. You got to give in. You just say, hey, I'm done doing this myself, and I'm going to trust Him. Speaking of C.S. Lewis, he also made the statement, God cannot give us a happiness and peace apart from Himself because it is not there. There's no such thing. Truth. A lot of wisdom. C.S. Lewis. Read some of his stuff, seen some of the movies, Narnia things. Good things. All right, we're hearing stories today, you can share yours on our storyline at 888-888-1717. Hey, Miranda, how are you today? What's going on in Georgia?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. How's the weather in Georgia?
Hot and cold.
Hot and cold. Yeah, we get it. You know, we're in Arizona, and, you know, this week it's been like 80, 85, 87, and then the weekend here, it's going to cool down and rain. So like you say, hot and cold. We're ready for the cold. A little bit of the cold. We're ready for some of it. Tell us your journey, Miranda.
I have been through a lot in my lifetime. When I was a child, in and out of CTS custody, went through some traumatic stuff when I was a kid. I got saved when I was 11. When I went to a church function, somebody was nice enough to take me to a church function, and I gave my life to the Lord at 11 years old. And being a child, you know, not really understanding, I kind of went on my own way there, got into some very dangerous situations. You know, praise the Lord that I'm still here today because of some of those situations. It's just by His grace and His mercy. Got married young, stayed married. That, you know, our marriage probably wasn't as great as it could have been. I don't feel like we were yoked exactly how we should have been. And so that ended up, you know, that ended after 13 years. And you know, that's where I am today. I'm remarried, about to be remarried. And He's just shown me every step of the way, every breakdown, every, you know, tearful path that I've been on, that He's there. You're never too broken. Every broken area, He will heal.
Amen.
He's there. He's been there. And He never left you. He never leaves. You are never alone. He is always there.
Yeah, it's biblical. I'll never leave or forsake you. And do you feel like you've got the stake in the ground and you're where you want to be spiritually and growing at this point? Sounds like it.
Still growing, always growing. The Lord teaches me every day.
That's good. And when you go back, oh, I hear a little one there.
Yeah, that's my daughter.
Oh, yeah. Hey, when you go back, you said you were 11 years old, someone took you to church. You wonder if someone hadn't taken you to church, what would have happened if you hadn't heard that gone to that event?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. I was baptized later on in my mid-20s, so.
Fantastic. And I was too. It's interesting. I accepted the Lord when I was 13. My journey, I grew up in a Christian home. My mom and dad were Christians. My dad didn't become a Christian until later on. We're talking back in the 40s, 1940s, when he came to Christ. He was a dance band leader back then in that era when there was dance, but maybe it's coming back, the music from the 40s. I like the music from the 40s. But anyway, he was a dance band leader and traveled Chicago and up and down the coast of Michigan and had all the things that go with it. And God got a hold of his life. And his story is one of his best friends got killed. I think it was a motorcycle accident. And he said when he went to the funeral, the pastor said, that could be you in that box. And he said that radically altered his life as a 28-year-old young man. Gave his life to Christ, radically changed him. My dad was an entrepreneur, builder, and ministry, and things he's done over the years. Of course, he's in heaven for many years with my mom. But growing up in a home where there was that kind of stability spiritually, I was blessed. I accepted Christ. I asked my dad at 13, I said, hey, I grew up in a Christian home, going to church, and maybe even thought I did, but I want to nail this down and make sure I can remember him praying with me. I prayed on the floor in our little home, a little tiny home that we lived in Berkeley, Michigan. All of our southeastern Michigan, Detroit area listeners, you know, we're Woodward and 12 Mile, right there in that area. That's where I grew up as a young lad, and I went to school and gave my life to Christ. But then in my 20s, just wanted to make sure, I wanted to just make that more public, and was baptized when I was 21, 22, and haven't looked back. And that's our prayer for our kids and our grandkids today, many years later. So we're so thankful for our kids who love the Lord, and praying for those grandkids, they continue to come up in the world in which they're being raised today. Wow, what a crazy time. All right, we didn't do a break. Let's do a break. We'll be right back after my story here. We'll get refocused and get to your calls and more stories on the journey of people with God. That's what we're talking about. You talk about intentional living, this is it.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Why do so many of us live in this valley of indecision in our life instead of saying yes or no to the issues of life? Anything from the small things of what I'm going to eat next to the big decisions of who am I going to marry. And I thought of five things. First of all, the fear to be wrong. Many people just fear being wrong. I don't want to be wrong. And so people who are indecisive are often people who just fear being wrong. If I'm wrong, I can't deal with making the wrong choice. Excerpt. Yes or no makes a difference. Say yes makes a difference. Say no makes a difference to whatever the topic is. And that lesson is up there for our members. We have a little exclusive site for those who are supporting the ministry every month. And because we all know you're with us, and we want to encourage you and walk with you. We got a lot of other resources as well at our website. So I hope everybody will go there. But for members, we have this featured lesson every month, plus an archive of teaching. And when you support the ministry monthly, God bless you for doing that. You're making a difference. And as I mentioned yesterday, wrapping up this year, some of you are thinking about your giving, the year-end giving, and so on. Maybe through your required minimum distribution, your retirement account, or through your giving, charitable giving. If you would consider helping Intentional Living, thank you. Secondly, for those who are ongoing every month, you're on our mind and heart every day, and we thank you for your monthly auto-giving support. Thank you. And if you want to know more about all this, go to our website at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Boy, we got a great story coming up. College age. We'll get to that in just a moment.
Hi, my name is Jackie. I'm listening to your intentional half hour on marriage and wanting to know what our rookie mistakes are. Well, my mistake, I was never successful at marriage. And my mistake was God was not the center. I was at the center of everything, or my husband was. And I never really understood what it meant to be totally committed to Christ and through Christ to be committed to a marriage. And that would be my advice for any young couple starting out now, would be put Christ in the middle. He is the leader. He is the way. I'm 73 years old, and sadly, it's taken me this long to figure all that out. So I wish all of you good luck and a blessed marriage. Thank you.
All right, Jackie, did your part here. Listen, you're helping people learn early. Learn early. You know, John Piper, some of you know Pastor Piper. He's written a lot of books. And one of the books he wrote that has been so impactful, in fact, it should be a reprint now for the college age, is on Don't Waste Your Life. It's a book I read a few years ago, and it just really talks about that. Don't wait until you're 73. And so for young people, Gen Z, millennials, younger people, any age, obviously, but, you know, really understand your life has meaning. Go after it. By the way, that's a great book. If you're thinking about something to give to a college age or high school age person for the holidays, just a thought. John, it's not a new book. John Piper, Don't Waste Your Life. Good stuff. All right. Talking about coming to Christ and your journey in the process. Summer, you are up next from Florida. So who was it that reached you in your journey?
Yeah, actually, I was born, raised, I was adopted into a Christian family, and it was just, it was really strict. And when I went to college, I didn't want to be this quote unquote religious person. Mm. So for 2 years, I was really just out of it and not chasing after God. And then I ended up finding this church called Voyage in my college town. And God basically kicked me over into that church. And the pastor, John, he was doing a sermon one day, and he said, "This is what God has to say to you." He said, "I'm proud of you because you're mine."
Mm.
And that one sentence just hit home. And it just slowly started to just like flip a switch in my mind. And I ended up finishing college, going to missionary school, and now I'm back in Florida, and I'm just like trying to just stay all in. And it was all started from like that one moment. I was just like, wow. I'm proud of you because you're mine.
So your parents planted the seed.
Yeah, no, and now I can't be more thankful for them.
When you say they were strict, what does that mean spiritually? I mean, what was it that turned you off?
It was very conservative, and now I'm more than thankful for what they've done for me, and I appreciate all of it now. But for a young Christian that, like for a baby Christian, I guess we call them, that didn't really know much and didn't know that it doesn't matter where you've been, it doesn't matter what you've done, what you do, He loves you just because
That's
you're
right.
doing your best, just because you're trying. It was kind of hard having like the rules straight from the Bible, like you can't do this, but you can do this. And although it just felt like rules and regulations.
Mm-hmm.
But now as an older Christian, I see that everything they've said was completely true, and that it just took me building my personal relationship to understand it.
Yeah, it's interesting. As I was hearing you share, Summer, about it was that moment, you even used that word, it was that moment when you heard that that made a difference, about the power moments. And it seems like the more, and I've talked to thousands of people, the more that I've talked to people about spiritual journey, it comes down to moments, either aha moments or oh no moments in life, as we've talked. I've got a book that I've read and marked up, and it's not a Christian book, but it's a book that has a lot of powerful principles. It's written by Chip and Dan Heath, brothers, The Power of Moments. And basically, it's a reminder about every moment matters. And you think about it in the life of Jesus and his interaction with people on the planet, there were moments, his moment of interaction with each of the disciples, how it changed their life as he goes to Peter and said, "Hey, come and become fisher of men." Whoa. You know, Matthew, "Stop being a tax collector. Get up and follow me." And there's power in moments, and you have an opportunity. Let me just share for those of us who are followers of Christ, we have an opportunity to make a difference, maybe in a moment, an intentional moment in someone's life. That's what I'm hearing so far today. Powerful. All right. Your comments are welcome, by the way. 888-888-1717. Continuing on, hearing more stories. Let's get back to the calls. Go ahead.
Hi, Dr. Andy. This is Cynthia from Arizona, and I want to share my story about how I found Christ. I was lost, and, you know, I was raised in church. My mom, she found Jesus when she was addicted to drugs, and, you know, we lost our way. I followed my mom thinking it was the right way, and we got into a very dark place, and I wanted to give up, but I remembered little from Sunday school growing up, and I prayed and I asked Jesus to help me. And sure enough, he sent me my sister, and my sister brought me back to church. And, you know, he picked me up and he showed me the light when I was in the dark, and I just owe him everything, and he's my everything.
Amen. Thank you, Cynthia. Maybe today you're saying, "I'm getting done with my own life here. It just isn't working. And I want what I'm hearing." And I want to share with you, what does that mean? Biblically, what does it mean when we hear about becoming a Christian or following Christ? And is there some magic? Do I have to have a special sign or handshake or something? What does that mean? Seriously. And I'm going to share with you what that means in just a couple minutes.
From my own experience, we've been married 22 years, and the absolute best years of our marriage have been the last 7. And the reason for that is we decided to give our heart to Jesus. We got baptized together, and we just basically took the plunge, you know, gave it all up. Our son is what kind of led us to Christ. He started going to a youth center. He got baptized before we did, and I didn't want to get baptized without my wife being baptized because I felt that was going to be somewhat of a conflict. So I just prayed and I asked God to put it in her heart. Just out of the blue, she said, you know what, we're going to get baptized. So I was very happy we got baptized together. And, you know, what led to it, I'm really not sure. I think it was just probably my son praying for us. But I encourage other couples, you know, number one, get right with God. And number two, do things as a couple. Worship together. Serve in your church together. Look for opportunities to help others together.
That's good stuff. Thank you, Robert. Listen, today, I want to remind you what the Bible says. The scripture is very clear that Jesus came to earth. And by the way, as you know, I've been involved with the ministry of Youth Haven. Our family was involved in starting that. And now third generation leading on reaching kids. But I heard the story that was passed on that one of the children, the many thousands of children came, asked one of the leaders there, why did they name Jesus a swear word? I thought, wow, you know, today it seems like God's name is just used everywhere. It doesn't even acknowledge that there's anything going on, which is, well, it's upsetting, frankly. And now Jesus, his name is being brought into things you see on TV and movies and things. And the reality is God sent his son. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, not as a swear word, but as a savior. And it goes on that in that next verse, that's John 3:16, but the next verse it says he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And that's his message to you today. He loves you. He's crazy about you. And I think that's the message we've been hearing from some of these calls when people are saying, I finally woke up to the fact I heard the truth that God loves me even though I've been in a pit. In fact, I think he loves people in the pit. He looks for people in the pit. If you follow the life of Christ, he wasn't real thrilled about the Pharisees who thought they were on the top of the hill and had all the answers, right? He was looking for the rest of us. He cared. He cares about us. And the Bible says to us that the wages of sin is death. That's scary. And as we've said, that's true. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Paul reminds us it's by grace that we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. And where intentional living fits into all this is, first of all, being intentional and making that decision. That's the first thing. That's what we're talking about today. But then we talk about such things as, well, how do we live and how do we use our resources and work and how do we live our lives? And it's not because God's going to love us more, just like your daddy's not going to love you more because you all do things. He might be happier with you, but he knows it's for your own good. A good dad now I'm talking about. But the next verse after that, it says, you know, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. But then it goes on to say in verse 10, you are God's masterpiece, and you have been made for good works. And the good works aren't just, you know, doing good things around the world and on the street corners, which are good, and that's fantastic, and we need to do that. But also good works are taking care of your family, loving your spouse, taking care of your finances, and really being obedient to what Scripture teaches. Because he's a good God and he loves you. And so today, if that's a decision that you say, I'm there, Randy, what do I do? The Bible says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you're saved. And you can use your own words, but just simply say, Lord Jesus, I'm done doing this myself. I'm done. This ain't working for me anymore. And based on your word and the reality of your gift of salvation and sacrifice on the cross and resurrection, I give my life to you and ask you to come into my life and save me for all of eternity. And if that's a true decision of your heart today, God will, even though feelings are great, even though you may not end that prayer and feel like, wow, you know, some big magical thing happened, God hears your heart. On the other hand, it may be a powerful emotional experience as well. But then get plugged in and learn. We're all about getting plugged into a church. Of course, we're big on listening to the media. That's going to make a difference. That's why we do our podcast and Intentional Life Media and Family Life Radio. That you'll grow in your walk with Christ. And that's why we do what we do. And that's why we're here every day sharing this hope. And if you've done that, you want to talk to one of our chaplains, you can call 888-888-1717 and press number 3. All right, back to the calls. Angela over in Texas, welcome to the show. What caused you to get on the phone today?
Well, I was calling to tell you about who brought me to Christ.
Okay.
It was 1962, and I was about 8 years old in a small town at Chillicothe, Ohio. And it was a Sunday morning. I was sitting in church listening to the pastor preach, sitting next to my mom, and I began crying. Felt that it was the Holy Spirit, and indeed it was. And she took me forward and spoke to the pastor briefly, and he knelt with me right there at the altar in front of the entire church and led me to the Lord. That was Pastor Deere, and it stuck. Yes. Served the Lord going on. I'm getting closing in on 70 years now. So I'm very grateful to my mom's sensitivity and to that precious pastor in that small church serving faithfully, who knelt one Sunday morning with a little girl and led her to the Lord.
Mm. Just telling the truth. Probably wasn't the greatest sermon that he ever gave, but he just spoke the truth, and obviously the Holy Spirit was drawing you.
We were raised in church, and we were there. We were the kind of family that was there 3 times a week, which I never resented. I always felt very sensitive to the Lord and fell in love with him at a young age, took everything very seriously. But I didn't know when I was crying why I was crying. Mm. But when I knelt at that altar and he told me about salvation in very simple terms, I understood that's what I wanted. And I did receive the Lord at that moment.
Hi, Dr. Carlson. I just wanted to say thank you. I did go through a rough period about a year and a half ago. My marriage was falling apart, and I had called and I had actually talked to you and said to set goals for one day at a time, because it was so hard when my husband left to set any long-term goals. So I set the goal for short terms, and I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for those people who were praying for us. My husband and I are together still. He came back home, and we are both living intentionally, and I have a better marriage than I did before, with both of us loving each other and doing the right things and walking intentionally with Christ. So thank you so much.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thank you for sharing your story today, and for each of you who are standing with us, praying for the ministry, allowing us to do what we do every day. It's because of your support we can do it. And we'll be wrapping up our calendar year here in just a few weeks. Can't believe it. Christmas right around the corner. Wow. Thank you for standing with us. Would you help us kind of close out the year big time, strong financially? If you've been thinking about your giving, if God leads you to do that, we'd appreciate it big time. You can call 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, press number 2. That'll take you to our team. Or you can go online anytime to theintentionallife.com. Click on donate. Your generosity, your support is going to transform, help us together to see transformation in people's lives as they choose to say, hey, I want to experience my life the way God intended.
Hi, my name is Jerry. I heard on the radio today you guys are talking about bad habits and giving them up and what they cost. I was a cocaine and alcohol addict for 28 years. And in the end, it wound up costing me my marriage, my home, my family, my daughter, my grandkids. It cost me my freedom for a while. It cost me everything, my money and everything. And then when I finally had enough of in and out, I threw my hands up. And I said, God, I can't do this anymore. I need your help. Please help me. And from that moment forward, when I gave him my will, my total body, soul, and will, He took all desires for any of my bad habits away. I never had another craving for cocaine. I never had another craving for alcohol. Unfortunately, I still had to suffer the consequences because of my actions, but now I'm living a true and an intentional life for Christ. And I want to, I'm so thankful that he did get me out of this mess once and for all. After 28 years of living in it, I am a free and clean man. Huh. Thanks to the Lord Jesus.
Yeah, thank you, Jerry. Listen, you've been listening and thinking, well, I don't know. I've never seen this God you talk about. He's not on TikTok. That's the kind of world in which we live today. There's proof right there. Jerry was at the bottom, gave his life to Christ, and radical change in life. Was that psychological? Wow. You know, I think, how do you answer that? We got too many miracles that we hear of God's transformation, people's lives, the power of the Holy Spirit, not to take it all pretty seriously. All right, time for one more. I think Sandy in Georgia.
In mid-July, I was probably in the worst place I've ever been in my life. Things were just kind of all turned upside down for me. And, you know, I've been to church my whole life, but I guess I'd never really been saved before. And I didn't realize it until my husband had actually moved out and left for a solid week. And I would just felt like I had hit rock bottom, basically. So I went to church this Sunday after he had left. And, you know, I was just a mess. And, you know, I just buried myself in Jesus. And praise God, he saved my soul that day. It was just, it was amazing. And, you know, I just opened my eyes to so many different things. And since that July 21st, you know, my husband came back home the next week. And, you know, we're working and we're trying to make this be a positive thing for the both of us. And he goes to church with me, but I can definitely feel that there's a separation there. He doesn't have the same desires. And I, you know, I want to be there at church all the time. I want to read my Bible, and I'm so excited about God now. And, you know, I feel like we are on completely different pages, you know, and I pray to God consistently that, you know, I just want him to show my husband that he needs him.
You know, I think Sandy's call is a good way to wrap up this show and this series, this two-day series, reminding us that your experience may not be that of those you love and around you. And so carry that truth and what God's done in your life with gentleness and love, because it took time for you to come to that place, right? And now giving patience and love to those around you that they too would come to know Jesus. Listen, I don't know, last 2 days, but I think we've been hearing from people who've said, I want to give my life to Christ, and that's why we're here. That's why intentional living exists. And I know that I speak for Jennifer and Stephen and the rest of the team here when we say God bless you and thank you for allowing us to do this. I'm Dr. Randy. I'll be back next time from Intentional Living right here from Intentional Life Media. Have a great day.